What's up, planner lovers? It's your girl Sharice, and I'm back for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. This week we have Bess from Lights Planner Action, and I had such a good time, and I'm so ready for you to hear all of her story. What I really love about her is that she is not afraid to share the ins and outs, the highs and lows of her journey as an entrepreneur, and how she balances all of this in her growing business. And of course, I really appreciate the fact that she uses her platform to speak out and let people know that she is not afraid to say the things that need to be said, even if that means she loses people around her. She showed love for Black Lives Matter, but also was honest about the fact that she's got some growing to do. If you like what you hear, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Head on over to Instagram at Plan on Purpose and let me know exactly what you thought of this episode. Also, don't forget to leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. Let's get into it. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I absolutely love your shop. I love your business and just how creative and fun you are. So I wanted to have you on. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's honestly, the pleasure is all mine. I love listening to you. When I saw the notification come through on my email that you were interested in doing an interview, I was like, yes, let me lock that down right now because that's a podcast I want to be on.
Yeah, I reached out to you because I just thought, again, I love what she's doing. And I absolutely love, you know, your creativity. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. So the first question I have is a question I ask everyone, which, you know, because you listen to the show. How did you get into planning?
Well, you know, like many people in the planning community, it's something that I've been doing my whole life. I have always been a list maker from a very young age. I found an old Lisa Frank planner that I had from way back in the day. But I would say, you know, I didn't really get into the planner community side of planning until about 2015. It was right around the time that I was getting married and I was planning a wedding and I was super stressed and I was just looking for a way to plan my life, but also get some of that creative energy that had been lacking in my life at the time. And I stumbled upon the pretty planning world via snail mail. I was actually looking for pen pals originally, and I am the worst pen paler ever. So thank God I didn't try and stick with that because I'm not good at it. But through pen paling, I found the planner community, and I think I bought a Day Designer and Target, and I have never looked back since then. From there, you know, it just spiraled into trying one planner and then another, and you know the story from there.
I sure do. That's exactly how we all get into it.
Exactly.
Isn't it? I mean, did you go out and buy all the things? Once you kind of realized that Spiralbound wasn't for you, what was your next step?
So I didn't buy all the things. At the time, I had a Silhouette, and I was already familiar with sticker making. So I got to work on making myself some very copyright-infringed Zumba stickers. I'll be very honest. My first foray into sticker making was like all over the place. Really bad example of what to do when you're sticker making. Do not steal someone's logo. But I made myself some stickers that way. And then I realized like the spiral just wasn't going to work for me. And I saw a lot of people using a 6-ring binder. And the first one I got actually was a Carpe Diem, like an A5 6-ring binder, and it was beautiful. I loved it, but the paper in it was junk. And I just sat there, and I have a graphic design background, so I'm like, okay, I like the planner itself. I don't like the paper. Could I make myself something else to go in here? And that started me down the idea of like whipping something up on the computer to make my own inserts. But it like literally, I went from 0 to 100 in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it happened to me too. So it's good to hear that I'm not alone in that going from 0 to 100.
For sure not.
So it's 2016. You've started your business. Tell me about how that happened.
Well, like I said, I had started making some inserts for myself and I was sharing them in a Facebook group that no longer exists. And I had a bunch of people reach out and say, "Hey, where did you get those?" And I said, "Oh, I made them." And they said, "Well, can you make that for us?" And I said, "You can just have the file. It's no big deal. You can print it yourself." And they were very adamant that they didn't want to do the work themselves because they had noticed that I was really good at cutting straight lines, that my holes were perfectly punched. So I said, "Okay, let me think on it." And after about a month of people saying, "Hey, where do I get that? Hey, where'd you buy that?" I said, "Well, you know what? Let me just try this whole Etsy thing." And Etsy is so simple to set up. It really takes not much more than a name and a logo. So I just set that up. And from there, I just kind of directed people to my Etsy. And, you know, the fast forward 5 years, now I'm off of Etsy and I've got my own standalone site and, you know, way too many sizes and way too many different designs, but I love it. I love it so much.
I totally disagree. I think you have an amazing amount of sizes and an amazing amount of inserts, and it gives everybody, you know, the opportunity to get what they need. So go you.
Well, thank you.
That's what's up. You decided to go from this is something I'm kind of doing for myself to this is something I'm doing for others, and really setting up Etsy. What kept you going when, you know, things get tough? Or did they get tough? Or did you have moments where things weren't selling? What did you do when that happened to you?
You know, it's interesting. There have definitely been some tough times along the way. I'm not going to say that this was ever easy. There is a lot of hard work that goes into owning a business, whether it's just a side hustle or the full-time gig. It's hard work the whole way through. But I really get a ton of value when someone says to me, "Wow, this insert really helped me with XYZ problem." A lot of my inserts have, you know, they have some real deep implications. If people are using them correctly, they can really enhance their life. I have a lot of inserts that are geared towards the spoonie community, so people with chronic illnesses. And I hear a lot of feedback on those inserts about how it's helped people to communicate to their doctor better the problems that they're having. And getting that feedback along the way and just hearing that people, you know, love coloring my stuff, even just, you know, getting the joy out of coloring is, you know, just hearing that people are using it and enjoying it and enhancing their life with it really drives me to keep going on those really tough days and nights sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having that person tell you that whatever you're trying to do is working, is helping them, is definitely a great reason to keep it going. So that's good that you're getting that feedback. Now, you did say you had a graphic design background. Is that what you're doing before you started your business?
Well, so my degree is in marketing with a focus in print, which allowed me to take a whole bunch of graphic design courses. It wasn't really my focus, but because of what my degree required, it allowed me to take all those courses. So I took a bunch of graphic design courses for the computer. And then I applied that when I started doing, I've worked for a nonprofit theater. The job that I was working at prior to quitting was actually for a deep fry company. I was the marketing manager there doing quite a bit of design in addition to the marketing. And then prior to that, I was working at a newspaper company doing the design for the advertising company. So I think the culmination of those three occupations somehow spiral led me to planning, because marketing is a lot of planning. And in all those occupations taught me better ways to design, more efficient ways to design. Especially the newspaper job has really been an asset when it comes to laying out 200 page notebooks. You know, that's a skill set that I wouldn't have learned anywhere else.
Yeah, I completely understand. I have a marketing background as well, and mine is more focused on like digital. Yeah, yes. I learned a lot about like how to do this whole like digital thing before coming into really owning my own brand. So it definitely helps. And shout out to you for having all that experience. No wonder your inserts are so bomb. So.
Oh, well, thank you. honestly, a lot of those jobs were not so great. So if I can look back on it now and go, yeah, you know what? It all added up to get you to this point. It was worth it.
Absolutely. And it's part of your story, right? So it helped you.
Totally. Yeah.
So what was it like really expanding? Like when you went, okay, this is a thing I'm doing. And now like, this is my business. When you really started to expand and notice that like your brand was taking off, what was that like for you? What was that process?
It is so scary. It's scary exciting. It's scary exciting. I'm not sure there's really a good word for it, but it is terrifying.
That's the word. You made it up.
You know, it's terrifying to turn in that 2 weeks notice to your boss and say, hey, I think I'm going to try and do my own thing for a while. And my last job was so supportive. My old boss orders inserts from me to this day, which I think is hilarious. But it's been very scary, but also when it pays off, it feels very rewarding. I think recently, I've upgraded some equipment and I've had to, you know, get some financial assistance to do that. And I think taking out a loan, a business loan, was like the next big, real scary thing. But you know what? It's paid off tenfold. If there's one thing I know, it's that if I believe in myself, that it... Oh, did
so you
I?
You said you got a loan. Sorry, you cut out again there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. Just started. Like,
so
I
the
got
last
a loan,
scary thing that I've really had to do was secure a business loan so that I could make some new equipment purchasing. And that was, again, really scary. But I hold true to this fact that if I believe in myself and I know what I am doing and I know that there is a market for what I am selling, it's going to work out. And I always say to my husband, because he also on any of these financial endeavors, I like to bring him in the fold. I always say to him, I'm like, worst case, I can always do invitations. Like, yeah. Worst case, I could become a print shop because I've officially got all the equipment to do it.
You do. I've seen your videos. You got all the things in there.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little print shop. I would call it a sweatshop, but it's just me sweating down there.
It is, but you're dancing and having fun. So I feel like, you know.
That's right.
So you talked just now about like really having that business loan. What advice would you give to someone who's really starting to think like this is really happening and I need to do something else? What advice would you give to someone who's looking at that process, but is just terrified to do so?
Take the leap. That's what I would, do some research. Don't go into it blindly. Definitely do some research along the way, but have faith in yourself and your product, whatever, or service, whatever it might be. Have faith in knowing that you will make it happen. If there is one person I can count on in this world, it is me. I will make it happen come hell or high water. So I think you have to have a little bit of self-assuredness when you're going into these endeavors. But I say, do it. Take the leap, take the jump, sign the paper, get that loan, make it happen.
I know. And it definitely is scary thinking about moving to the next step. I'm sure it is. I mean, I'm taking a leap. I did the same thing here with the podcast. And I'm telling you, like, it's I feel you. It's scary for sure.
Yes.
What would you say has been your biggest lesson since you started your brand?
It's more of a mistake turned into a lesson. I would say if I could go back in time, I would say be better at your paperwork, Bess. It's crazy because I'm in the planner community and we are all about paper. But when it comes to a paper trail of finances and just financial management in general, that is one thing I'm sorely lacking. So definitely stay on top of all that financial paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, just because we love to make things pretty doesn't always mean we catch up to how much it's adding up or what we're taking away and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. I always tell people, unless I'm counting, you know, how much money is coming in, I'm really at a loss. Like, how much, you know.
Even at that, I'm not so good. I got software for that now.
Yes, let the computer do it, okay? We only need paper for certain things.
It's so true.
So you're a wife and you have this booming business going on. You got your personal life. You're just telling me about, you know, doing some creative projects in your office. How are you balancing?
Right. That's a huge task. Well, some days are better than others. I will not lie. There are some weeks where I look back and say, wow, you literally did nothing but work all week. And I think the pandemic has exacerbated that a little bit just because what else is there to be doing? But as I have grown, I have really taken some time to analyze how I am spending my time and trying to reprioritize some of my time. And the biggest thing that I've done in the last year and a half is try to outsource some of my tasks that can be outsourced. You know, I hired a virtual assistant to help with my email and my direct messages, and that's been huge. It's been a huge help to have someone else kind of buffering through my messages, still letting me respond to the ones that require the owner's response, but really just taking a lot of that customer service stuff off of my plate. And I really just getting even an hour back of my time has been huge this year.
Oh, what ways are you being creative right now? I know you're always pumping out these inserts in your shop. What's new? What's happening for you now, if you don't mind sharing?
You know, I'll be honest, I haven't really had a lot of time to be creative since I started my business. It is one of the downfalls of starting a creative business is that your actual time to enjoy the things you make is very small. So even I did a Christmas planner and there was a ton of opportunity for coloring. And I think I colored 2 pages out of the whole book. And I was a little bit sad about that because it's a beautiful book, but I have learned to just flip the page and walk away. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to be in February trying to fill it in just to say that I did or to, you know, check that box off. But I am trying to find, you know, some opportunities to be creative. One of my, it's not really that creative. Painting your nails is maybe not the most creative thing out there, but it is almost a mindful.
Yes, it is.
Okay, then cool. It's my one creative thing that I absolutely make sure to get done every single week. It's almost like a habit in mindfulness because you have to go slow. You have to sit there after and not touch things. And it's like my one thing a week that I'm like, nope, I'm going to get it done. My nails are going to look good on Instagram. And it's not going to be something that I have to worry about. So that is the one thing that I have been able to continue over the 5 years that I've had my business open is like, nope, if everything else falls to the wayside, my nails will still look good.
I love that. That's me with my hair. Like, I love it. I mean, I do my own nails now too, because thanks pandemic. But when you're talking about they're not creative, girl, I used to have all types of things like Black History Month things. I used to have Halloween nails, Christmas nails. Like, yes, it is definitely very creative. So I hear that a lot though from people who own creative businesses, that they're just like, I'm creating. I used to create for fun. And now it's like, I'm creating because I got to make sure to pay the rent.
Yes, it does suck a little bit of the fun out of it. But I mean, you can still find time to inject a little bit of creativity into it. You know, my Instagram feed still has to look fire. So I do still throw some stickers in a planner every single week. And that's another moment where I get to be a little bit creative. And you know, sometimes that feels stressful too, because it feels like I'm doing it just for the gram. But when I look back at the end of the year and get to flip through on my spreads, I'm like, no, you may have thought you were doing that for the gram, but actually you did that for you, because I do love looking back through my plans and seeing what was happening and what I was feeling. And maybe if I wasn't planning, I knew exactly how I was feeling. You know, it all comes out on those pages.
It definitely does. I've always said that sitting down every week to plan is really just about me trying to focus and really get clarity on what's happening. And it helps you so much. So yes, your pictures do look dope. But at the same time, as long as you're getting something from it, then yeah, you definitely should keep doing it. I mean, it's good to show people how to use your inserts and all that fun business stuff. But at the end of the day, that's like your safe space. So, you know, you gotta keep it up.
Right. And, you know, every now and then I do a spread where I specifically won't share it on Instagram. And I'll think to myself, like, this one's really just for me. And it's usually on the heavier weeks or something, you know, personal is going on that I don't feel comfortable sharing on Instagram. It's like, nope, do this one for you, but don't not write it down because you feel that you are obligated to share it with the world, because you actually don't have to share any of this.
You don't. And I think that's why I've heard a couple of people that I know who have shops, they do like one that they're just, you know, putting out there and showing people how to creatively use the stickers or use the planner. And then the other one is really just for them. Like,
right.
So I mean, people do too, or people do. One of the things I do, I like to share like my stickers, but I don't always put my plans and things out there. So I always do before the pen. I know when people do the pen, it's prettier, whatever. I don't care about all that. You're going to get the spread without the pen. And that's what it is. I'm not putting on my business. It might be something personal. You don't need to know I'm going to the doctor.
Right.
But I still share the spreads because, you know, I like them and I don't mind. It's my hobby. I don't mind sharing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, think about that. I mean, having more than one might be a little bit of work, but maybe one is just highlighters and the other one stickers. You never know.
Yeah. I also will do like post-its. Sometimes I'll just write like an extra note on a post-it. Like if there's something that I want to remember, but I don't really want to include in the spread, I'll put a post-it down. I can always review that. And thankfully, I'm not using Target post-its, so they actually stick.
Girl, them post-its. I got a drawer, okay? An actual drawer full of those post-it notes. And let me tell you, they will be sitting there probably till 2025, okay?
I do, too. I'm trying to redo my office right now, so I really should go through them and purge some of them. But there's just something about them that I'm like, but it's really cute, though.
They are. They go with like every, like I bought one for every season because I'm that person. They're like, I need this planner for the season and blah, blah, blah. So every time I look up and I'm ready to throw it, I'm like, oh, but these are Easter ones though. Like,
yes.
Where am I going to find Easter ones?
Yep. It's so true.
Got to get out of it. I got to treat my planner stuff like I treat my closet. Like if I haven't worn something in like 2 years, it's got to go. So I feel like that on my planner stuff. I got to start doing that too.
Except planner stuff, I feel like we are, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but you maybe can relate to this as well, is it's almost like a pendulum. So you might not be into those sticky notes now, but 5 months from now, you might be all about the sticky notes. So that's part of my hesitation to throw stuff away. I have a whole bunch of traveler's notebooks. I don't use traveler's notebooks. I am all about the rings, baby. But I cannot bring myself to throw those traveler's books out because I'm like, no, 6 months from now, that might be your thing again.
Yeah, that's why I still have all my Kiki case. Mm-hmm. I'm using a disc bound right now. Well, I'm using a passion planner and a disc bound right now, but a disc bound that I made myself. But I definitely don't want to give up those.
No, they're just in case.
Mm-hmm. Just think a whole 2 shelves worth of just in case.
Exactly.
So you have given some very, very, very great advice here. I'm definitely loving it and I'm appreciating it because I know that some people are definitely in the beginning of the year thinking about doing their creative projects or starting their brands. What would you say was your first purchase as a business owner, creative business owner, or making inserts, making planners? If I'm doing that, what's my first thing? What's the first thing I should get?
For me, it was a quality cutter. You cannot do inserts if your cutter is crooked or jagged edges, like none of that will do. So the first thing I really invested in was a quality cutter. And what's funny now is that I am actually talking with another small business owner and she is just stepping into the insert space and she's got the cutter that I used to use. And she made an Instagram post the other day about how miserable it was to work with this cutter. And I reached out to her. I said, listen, I have had that cutter. I know the ins and outs of it. I know how frustrating it is. I also know that it can be a really good cutter if you do X, Y, and Z. And I'm not afraid to share that knowledge with anyone. Like I am an open book when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I was like trying to encourage her because I could hear the disappointment in her tone when she's telling me, you know, I spent X amount of dollars on this and it's really frustrating. And I'm like, nope, just hang in there. I promise you with a couple tweaks, this cutter will be perfect for you.
That is so amazing. And that's great that you would be willing to share that with her because you just never know. You could have helped her out and saved her, and of course saved her a ton of money, you know, especially something we all could definitely be doing right now.
Absolutely. And you know what? She's someone I've connected with at conferences before. So I felt comfortable reaching out and just being like, hey, I know where you're at. I don't know that I would do that to everybody on the internet, but because we had connected previously, I felt comfortable just telling, like giving her that pep talk and kind of giving her some insight into some different things she could try with it. Because, you know, even the best equipment out there, you kind of, the longer you use it, you build up all these little tricks and hacks. And I do a lot of things where I am using washi tape as guidelines. Like I'm very much MacGyvering things. So I was happy to share that knowledge with her. And she's like, okay, I'm going to try this, but I'll let you know. It seems like it's not going to work.
But at least you did that though. At least you were able to kind of help her out a little bit. That's dope. It really is.
Yeah, definitely.
It sounds like you're working a ton and you got a lot on your plate. How do you relax?
That's, you know what? In 2020, one really wonderful thing to come out of 2020 is I've gotten back into taking bubble baths. For a very long time, I went with this mindset that my tub was too small. Well, it turns out they make things to, you can extend the depth on your tub and make it feel a little bit bigger. So I invested in some of those things. And so taking a tub has been like very relaxing. And then the other thing that I really, it feels, fills my cup like no other is playing piano. And typically like I'll wait until everyone's out of my house and I will just cut loose on the piano and just have a ball with it and just feel like all of my emotions have been laid out on those keys.
That I would have never guessed that you played the piano. That's really cool.
Yes, it's my favorite, honestly. Planners and pianos.
See, that's it. That's it right there. That sounds like a little coffee chat. Planners and pianos.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think everybody needs a little bit of something that they can do to relax. I have my thing. I think I found, for me, Bible journaling. That's my self-care. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Nice.
It's my thing, but I'd love to hear that you have found something that helps you relax because you sound like you're on it all the time and I could tell.
Yeah. And you know what? I try and mostly do it just for me. Every now and then I will share on Instagram a little piano something, but for the most part, that is just for me. It's my sacred time in front of that instrument. And even like, I'll usually wait until my husband is out of the house because it can be very loud. And if I'm playing the same song over and over, it can be obnoxious, but I just want it to be my time to be there and just kind of let it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really dope. Look at you being mindful. That's really awesome. Here I am like, oh, nope, it's laundry day. I'm going to blast my Beyonce all over the place and he'll be all right. He gets it. No.
Well, listen, the music is playing all the time, all day, every day. There is music going.
Yes, yes. I can see you love incorporating a lot of different music and songs into all of your reels, which are hilarious. Where do you get the ideas for those?
Thank you. And,
like, what makes you, like, how are you comfortable with, like, sharing some of the things that you share? Because one of the things I find hilarious that you do is that you put information out about, like, what's really happening in your business and kind of make it fun. Like, where do you get the inspiration for share that? How are you comfortable with this?
Well, you know what? When I started my business, I was every day before I was going to work, I was going, hi, Instagram, it's me. And I was talking mindlessly about planner stuff and nothing but planner stuff for probably 2 years. And then I started divulging a little bit more into the ins and outs of my business because I think people gain a level of respect for you when they recognize how much work goes into the simplest of things. So I really wanted to give people a window into my workshop in that way. But as, in terms of the reels, you know, I am a hardcore lurker on TikTok and I have been probably since the pandemic started. So prior to Reels even launching, I had always been watching TikToks and thinking, oh, this would be really funny if I applied it to a planner situation, or, oh, that sound would be hilarious if I did it in front of my cutter. But I wasn't willing to post them on TikTok because TikTok's not my safe space. So when Reels came to Instagram, I was like, hot damn, I'm jumping right on that. I already have like a whole bunch of TikToks that I know would work perfectly for this. And I've just dove right into it. I actually have a note on my phone where I put down any Reels ideas so that on that day where I can't come up with something, I've got kind of a list that I can always fall back on.
That's really smart. I have been trying. My thing is I'm a dancer. So TikTok was it. When I saw that, I was like, let's go. But I was like, how do I gotta put that into my thing? So I've been working on some stuff too. So you might see it. You know, you got to watch out for your girl. But it's really cool. It's really cool seeing kind of how you do that. It's great that you having fun with it, because it's showing that, like, hey, like, you know, you have no problem with just getting in there and saying this is not cool and laughing about it. Like that one you did about people messaging you about inserts. I was crying. I was like, see, yes.
Oh my gosh.
And that's real life. Like, that's real.
It is. And it's, you know, I think it brings a level of humanity to the product. Sometimes we can get in our heads and just think it's all about the products, but people want to know the person behind the products. If there's one thing I have learned in the last 5 years is that this niche hobby is less about the planners and more about the people. And it's been really awesome to kind of dive into that head first and really just embrace the idea of Reels. I love music so much. So even sometimes I'll be listening to the radio and I'll hear a lyric and I go, oh my God, that's planner relatable. I need to write that down right now so I don't forget it. But there's so many opportunities to inject humor and humility into what we do. So I'm happy to do it.
And you do it really well. So I'm saying thank you for that.
Thank you. That's the thing. You know what? Life is really serious, and there's definitely times where we have to be serious, but I don't think planning has to be all seriousness, and you just have to laugh sometimes. So I'm glad that I can bring a chuckle to people.
Well, see, now you just make me feel all weird about getting serious, because I'm about to ask you a really serious question.
Well, that's okay. We can be serious too. Like I said, there's space for both.
So you also tackle some very heavy things, and you're talking about on your Instagram page, and being that it is like your business page, you've talked about different things like Black Lives Matter. Like, what makes you comfortable with talking about these kinds of things on your Instagram?
It's been a journey. I, for a very long time, felt like I was very aware of the injustices, and that was enough. And it's become very clear to me that's not enough. And right around the time of George Floyd, there came a wave of everyone being very vocal. And I was nervous at first to speak up because I don't know everything and I'm comfortable saying that. And I know I will make mistakes, but I started following a woman named Rachel Rogers. She heads a multi-million dollar business called We Should All Be Millionaires. And she hosted this community forum on how you can inject anti-racism work into your business and do so respectfully. And it just really opened my eyes into how much I wasn't doing and how much more I could be doing. And I joined her club. We Should All Be Millionaires. She gives a ton of great business advice. I would recommend to anyone who's looking to level up, check her out. But everything she does has a touch of social justice to it. And I aspire to be of that level. I'm definitely not there yet, but I look to her in many ways as a guidepost of where I want to go.
That's really great that you said, hey, you know what? I don't really know what I'm doing here and I want to do something. So I'm going to look out for somebody who can help me, because a lot of it is people not understanding what you don't know what you don't know. And it's okay to say, I don't know. But it's been tough for people to feel comfortable even saying that they want to know because of all the different things that's going on. So good for you that you're actually looking out and saying some things. It's still a lot of stuff going on, but
I know.
The fact that you're willing to even learn is good.
For sure. And I think a little bit of it is you have to recognize that when you make a stand, you are going to detract some people away from you. And that's okay. Those are not the people you want to be buying your products anyways. So, you know what I mean? Like, I see people say, I'm going to lose a lot of followers for this. Who cares? Who cares? Let them go. That is not your target audience.
That's it for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. I want to thank Bess for coming through and really just being honest and open and authentic and all of the words you can put there. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you stop by on Instagram and show her some love, show Plan on Purpose some love, and of course, tell a friend to tell a friend. Check the show notes for all of Bess's information, and if you want to get some inserts or a planner from Lights Planner Action, make sure you click on that website and check it out. Until next time, you know what it is. I'm here to talk if you're here to listen.